Welcome back to Creeps in the Crypt. As always, I'm Eric, and I'm joined by...
Christian.
And Sam, you were so fast.
She is quick on the draw, as always.
Johnny on the spot.
I'm caffeinated.
That's a huge change.
I wish I was caffeinated.
Normally, she's got one eye kind of like fucking half closed.
Because I'm like, you guys want to record so late, and I'm like, this is past my bedtime. I'm like, I have kitties to co-sleep with at 9.
Record at 9:30 at night. Now, granted, I would love to record it like 1 in the afternoon, but that just isn't possible.
That's not a thing.
Not with our schedules.
No. I could have come up earlier. Our show was canceled today.
You asshole.
I didn't know if that was...
Absolute asshole. I had shit I had to do. We had to make dinner. There was dinner that needed to be made, kitties that needed cuddles.
Yeah.
Showers that needed to be taken.
See?
Yeah, see.
Self-care that needed to be done.
It's all good. It's all copacetic.
I'm trying to find the will to survive.
Yeah, Sam's a little under the weather, but we're here. We're here doing the damn thing. And we have the ultimate of cold cases. And maybe the most well-known true crime case of all time, unless your name is Christian Whitener and you've never heard of JonBenet Ramsey.
I haven't.
My mind is fucking blown. Eric didn't even say hi to me when I walked in. Christian's never heard of JonBenet. I'm sorry.
We've only been talking about it since the start of this fucking cold case season.
I know. I felt like I didn't need to say anything.
Did you, like, live under a fucking rock in 1996?
I did. My parents sheltered the hell out of me. Eric, I was only allowed to watch fucking Animal Planet and Discovery.
You didn't see that poor, sad blonde girl on all the tabloids in the supermarket?
I lived in a small-ass town in the mountains in Virginia, and I knew about JonBenet Ramsey.
My parents shielded me. They were like, no.
I'm going to talk to your mom about that. Be like, Christian's never heard of JonBenet Ramsey until
tonight. I bet you my mom's probably never
tonight.
You know what? If she's heard about it, then
that's all you could fucking hear about in the 90s.
Yeah, that's all my parents talked about.
It was JonBenet Ramsey and Clinton getting blown in the Oval Office. That was the 90s.
That's fair.
And OJ.
Yeah, I was going to say, you need to throw that
in
there.
So OJ, JonBenet, Clinton getting his dick sucked in the office.
This one over here's feelers are going crazy.
I fucking love OJ.
So two true crimes and a president getting his dick sucked. That was...
Which is a crime in itself because...
Just all crimes.
Look,
that's a crime.
Presidents need their dick sucks too.
Well, he has a wife, sort of.
Can you even call her that?
That's why I said sort of.
I would say she's more like a fucking homunculus that kind of just looms over the fucking White House.
She looms.
Always a bridesmaid, never a bride, huh, Hillary?
That didn't age well.
Fucking all I can think of is that scene from Borat where it's like, no, you will never get this.
The presidency?
Yeah. Gotta be doing
that. That was really funny.
So yeah, if you remember the 90s, and I know our younger listeners...
Or you were alive in the 90s.
If you...
And not under a rock, and your name wasn't Christian Whitener.
Yeah, that Christian's part. One of the cave people.
I am baffled and flabbergasted. And
I am so sorry.
I know you lived in Utah for a while.
Utah.
I said Utah for a while.
You definitely said Utah
for a while. I'm about six bourbons in, so we're doing this.
Jesus.
I know you lived in Utah for a while.
Yes. Very sheltered.
And you guys believed in magical plates and underwear.
Yes.
But you can't tell me you didn't see a single tabloid that had, like, JonBenet on it.
She was literally America's child.
No.
Tabloids in Germany.
Well, that's part of the fucking problem with the JonBenet cases. She was America's sweetheart.
No.
But we'll get more into that later.
No, we're not.
But anyway. Yeah.
But yes.
I'm just in sheer shock and disbelief.
Have you gotten your fill of your shock value?
No.
No, I really haven't.
I am flabbergasted. I was speechless.
Like, Sam had to pick her jaw up off the floor.
I barely sat down.
Tell her when I
Salem had to help her.
He did.
Oh no, the executive producer of Salem had to help her. Good job on the floor.
He did. He helped. He made biscuits.
I mean, this is like the.
He's like, here, I comfort you.
I would say this is like the ultimate in like true crime cases. There's people that have dedicated their entire lives of free time.
Quite literally, yeah.
To trying to solve this fucking
thing. There are people today still working on this case. We'll get to that.
John Ramsey. Who, yeah.
So anyway. What is your, like, y'all's case that made you a true crime fanatic? Like, what did it?
Realistically, I would probably say,
like, the first case you heard of and you were like,
Elizabeth Smart.
I fucking saw that coming.
I really, it wasn't because I'm from Utah, so fuck all of you in this room. It's not because of the fact that I'm from Utah.
So I'm a serial killer fanboy.
Okay, so yeah.
You want to know what got me into true crime? And this has nothing to do with true crime.
What?
Silence of the Lambs.
Okay.
Yep.
You sick fuck.
Silence of the, like, Dr. Hannibal Lecter me into fucking true crime. Because I wanted to do criminal psychology.
I love it.
And I'm also a massive fan of like parapsychology and cryptozoology.
Love that shit.
So, dude, I used to get high and just watch Ancient Aliens every day.
I fucking love this shit. Well, for me, this is the case.
So this is your penultimate.
This is it. I was in the pageant world when this happened.
Well, that's unfortunate.
So, like, I remember, like, being in the dressing room and, like, my mom and the other pageant moms talking about it and all this. It was, like, I mean, granted, I wasn't in the Sunburst circuit like she was, because that was a whole fucking other beast. That is just, I can't even get into the circuit that Sunburst is in. That is.
You're speaking Greek to me right now.
I was in a Miss America organization affiliated circuit. Sunburst is like glitz and glamour and the big ass crowns and all that shit.
So those people are getting like modeling contracts.
Well, I mean, not that Miss America or
MAO. Those are the type of girls that end up in Balenciaga ads holding up Gimp Bears, right?
I mean, not that, but like, you literally just silently agreed. It's more like show ponies is Sunburst, in my opinion. There will be people that are like, nah, no, it's not. Yes, the fuck it is.
Hmm.
You don't have to have community service hours. You don't have to have charity work to be in Sunburst.
Gotcha. So it's a. Is it pay to play?
Yeah, you have. It's big. It's. Don't get me wrong. Sunburst is big fucking money.
This is
money.
Like a world that I do not know of.
Sunburst is big fucking bucks, but also so is MAO, but it's different. At least back then. Back when I was in pageants, I can't attest for it now, but Sunburst was.
It's a multi-million-dollar operation.
Yeah, Sunburst
is
child
pageants, and it does attract some sick fucking people.
Yes, it does.
Some what you'd say nefarious characters.
Yes, I would.
And you know, when we talk about, like, we've referenced this before in cases like Dahmer and shit like that of the less dead, which is like homosexual victims, black victims, any minority victim, basically, yeah. Prostitutes. They're the less
dead. They like to be called sex workers.
Accountants.
Spicy accountants.
Anyway, I digress.
As you should.
John Benet would be considered the most dead. Literally and figuratively. Oh, yeah. Because normally if a serial killer was to kill a 6-year-old white girl, all the heat would... They would get all the smoke. All the fucking smoke.
Absolutely.
Because you can go and kill a 30, 50 sex workers, and I said that for you.
Thank you.
Sex workers.
Spicy guns.
And they, no, but no cop would bat an eye.
Yeah.
If you kill a six-year-old beauty queen.
Blonde hair, blue-eyed, sweet little baby angel.
Face of an angel. Just bludgeoned her with a flashlight and strangled her with a garrote.
He's keeping ahead over here.
I'm just saying.
For Christian, everybody else fucking knows when this happens.
Yeah,
this is a surprise for me, damn it.
Oh, just wait. Just wait until we talk about BPD.
This actually might be the best episode for you guys to, like, do.
Oh, the shock factor that you're about to get?
Yes.
You're about to... I wouldn't be surprised if you walked out of the room and you had to, like, calm down.
You're going
to
need to, like...
support kitty.
You should have had more wine.
I've had almost a whole fucking bottle.
Well, drink the rest of it. Because you're going to need it for this case. So without further ado, Sam, let's get into part one of JonBenet Ramsey.
I'm going to preface this with this case makes me fucking angry.
Now, we're not getting into any theories.
No, we're not talking any theories in this one.
Part one.
No.
We are talking straight facts.
Facts over feelings.
Exactly. Well, there's going to be some feelings, mainly about the Boulder Police Department.
If I wasn't sick, I'd be screaming into the fucking mic.
And I warned you, don't do that.
I'm not. I can't right now because I sound like I smoke 12 packs a day. So.
And Sam needs some more nickels for the slots.
That is literally how I feel like I sound. So, in my head, that's what I sound like. I don't know if that's what I actually sound like.
You don't. You're fine. But it's still fucking funny.
Where are your Virginia Slims? That's all we need to know. Yeah.
Literally.
Mama needs to get some more Virginia Slims.
I'm out. Eric, I smoked my last one on the way up here.
Eric, I need to stop doing this so well. Eric doesn't. He's not even sick.
Getting into the bucket for the coins.
Oh, my God. Anyway. Also, can we just talk about the fact that JonBenet's name is quite literally the most narcissistic name ever. So, like, her dad is JonBenet, and her mom's name is Patricia. French. JonBenet Patricia Ramsey. How fucking narcissistic can you be?
Well, that
self-centered
is
to name your child after you in both names.
Favorite child.
Yes. Anyway.
I know Lady Gaga had the movie A Star Is Born, but truly, JonBenet should have a movie called A Star Is Born, and then snuffed out.
Oh, fuck off, Eric. Anyway, JonBenet Patricia Ramsey was the daughter of two very affluent people, JonBenet Ramsey and Patricia, who liked to go by Patsy Ramsey.
Is incidental because she did quite end up being a patsy later on.
Stop foreshadowing, Eric.
I'm good at it.
You're ruining all of it for Christian.
Is he, though?
Kind of. Anyway, so she was born on August 6th, 1990.
She was born the same year as me? Okay.
She's only like a year
and change. That would probably be the reason why I never really...
Dude, I remember so much... Like, shit. I remember the OJ shit, Princess Diana. I remember so much shit from being a kid.
I don't remember OJ, but I remember.
I remember
Princess Diana. Remember JonBenet.
I remember Princess Diana.
But I also only hung out with adults, so.
I was in the pageant world. That's. Yeah.
So there
I've been a true crime junkie since 96.
I can't remember.
I started young.
And I really dove into it. But let's continue.
She was born down in Atlanta, Georgia. She was technically the youngest of two from John and Patsy's marriage. But she's the youngest of, five?
Yeah.
Technically.
So.
Because John had two from a previous marriage and Patsy had one.
Yes. I believe so.
Yeah. John Andrew and then his daughter who died in a car crash. And then Patsy had a son in Atlanta.
So at the end of the story, John's got two dead daughters.
Yes.
His track record is not great.
I guess he's just not meant to have girls.
It's just not a good thing for him.
JonBenet had an older brother named Burke. He was 3 years older than she was. He was 9 at the time of her murder. She was this outgoing little Southern girl who loved being the center of attention, which what little girl doesn't? By the age of 6, she'd already had quite a few pageant titles under her belt. She had blonde hair that fell into bouncy little curls, a perfect smile, and the best sparkly costumes that money could buy. And trust me, the Ramseys had a lot of it.
Yeah, she also was up for... I can't even fucking do the joke. I can't even do the joke. I'm just going to digress. I can't do the joke.
Okay.
It's too bad. It's too bad. I can't do it. I can't do the fucking joke.
As you shouldn't. I don't even know what joke it is because there was a lot of them. I don't even know which one it is, but don't do it. Anyway. John Ramsey is this multi-millionaire businessman who founded Access Graphics, which was bought out by Lockheed Martin.
Which, if you don't know about Lockheed Martin...
I don't.
So, they are literally like lords of war. Their whole thing is they do military development, weapon development. So, they basically are responsible for more deaths than you would imagine. Like, their whole game is like, let's blow shit up and sell weapons to multiple governments. So they're like, them and Raytheon are the two big, like, weapons development companies.
I've never heard of either of them.
When you're in the conspiracy circle, you kind of hear about them quite a bit.
I mean, I enjoy a good conspiracy theory, but I'm not like...
Let's just say war makes a lot of money, and they made a lot of money during Iraq.
Well, I know war makes a lot of money.
War makes a fuck ton of money.
Yeah, it does.
Which John benefited from.
Yes, he did. Her mom, Patsy, was a former Miss West Virginia title holder in 1977. And JonBenet's aunt won the Miss West Virginia crown 2 years later in 1979. So she is just born and bred for pageantry.
She was destined for it.
Yeah. She
didn't have an option. Really, her childhood was already planned for.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
She never had a chance to really be a kid.
I mean, I was in pageants, and I can't say that I wasn't able to be a kid, though.
At that level, I'm assuming it's... a lot of work. Lot of fucking work. Especially at the level she was operating at. And this is just me being an idiot. An ape about it. Because I have no fucking clue about that world. But if I'm looking at it from the outside in, think about how much work we put into doing this.
Oh, yeah.
And there's no money on the line.
No.
There's no modeling contracts or careers on the line here. We're just literally fucking around once a week, and it's a shit ton of fucking work. I would imagine if the pageant world has you have to practice your routine every fucking night.
Mm-hmm.
You really kind of start getting robbed of your childhood, especially when you're getting the publicity she's fucking getting.
Oh, I mean, well... Yeah, but, I mean, I was also on the cover of my pageant circus magazine in 1998. So.
Not going to make that joke.
I was a front runner in my pageant circuit also.
I bet you were a front runner in a lot of dudes' circuits that bought that magazine, too.
Probably. I don't know.
A lot of weird fucking dudes bought that magazine. A lot of
weird... Well, no, it wasn't, like, available to the public. It was within the circuit. Which, not to say that there's not queerby dudes in the circuit either, but...
I really like the way that leotard fits you.
It was a headshot from my shoulders up, and I am fucking adorable. I still have it somewhere.
You should send that to me if you ever find it.
I will.
I'll post it. You know, go I'm find fucking it.
Adorable.
And I'll post it on the fucking Creeps in the Crypt Instagram if you find
as
it.
As you should. My face deserves to be on there because I'm fucking adorable in that photo.
Aww.
There you go.
It's so cute. But yeah, like, I don't remember, like, I don't think I had any less of a childhood from being in pageants.
Then that's awesome.
I mean, I don't know anything about Sunburst. I know that like I said, was...
I'm speaking with... no fucking prior knowledge or it like
and six bourbons deep.
Not too. But I mean like I was
way to fucking blow up my spot, dude.
You did it earlier.
Yeah, you already did it.
It's okay for me to judge me.
She's your wife, she's allowed to too.
Only God can judge me.
No, I can't too. Up.
Yeah.
Only God and Jack Daniels can judge me.
You shut don't up. Even drink Jack Daniels.
So. No, I don't.
Fuck you.
I'm drinking Henry McKenna right now because I'm a cheap bitch.
Okay, you're getting us off topic.
Okay.
John and Patsy doted on JonBenet in every way possible. Their home, which was four stories, had a fucking wine cellar.
That's how you know you made it.
Like, I'm talking, like, this home is fucking massive.
Like, if I had a wine cellar, if we made enough money for me to have a wine cellar, that bitch would be empty every night because Christian would drink it all.
But I mean, this house is just like, it's like, fuck you big.
Well, when you got Lockheed Martin money, you have fuck you money.
Yeah. I remember like the first time I saw pictures of it, and I was like, good fucking Lord. Their home was fully equipped to give everything JonBenet would need to live a life of luxury. On December 23rd, 1996, the Ramseys hosted a Christmas party at their humble abode. They went as far as hiring journalist Bill McReynolds to play Santa Claus.
You know you got money when you're hiring journalists to play Santa Claus.
Yes, and he also took a very special liking to JonBenet.
Normally, the mall just finds a homeless guy out back with a big white beard.
I fucking hope they don't. I used to go see Mall Santa every year in my childhood.
If you guys could see the look on Sam's face right now when I said that, it was just like dread.
Get away from me.
Dude, just stinking like a 6-day wino.
I don't remember them ever stinking.
I've sat on many men's lap that has stunk like a 6-day wino.
I know you have. With a big beard,
so... It didn't bother me. I was like,
you want to try that again later?
Sure. Where's your candy cane?
Don't.
Do I get a free candy cane?
You do get a free candy cane.
If I'm a good girl. Sam's like, stop it.
On the morning of December 26th. On the morning of December 26th, 1996, around 2 a.m., the Ramsey's neighbor woke up to a sharp, loud, childlike scream that was abruptly cut short, and she decides to just lay back down and go back to sleep. Like, it's nothing.
Oh, it's just the death rattle of a 6-year-old. I mean,
no big deal. You
know, I'm not going to lose this sleep. It's Christmas.
At 5:30, Patsy wakes up to prepare the family to catch a private flight to their vacation home, which is might be equally as big as their Colorado home in Michigan, where John is originally from. At 5:52 a.m., Patsy called the Boulder PD after she found a 3-page ransom note demanding that the Ramseys pay $118,000 to these kidnappers or they would kill JonBenet. And we'll get into the ransom note in a little bit or the next episode. I'm not sure.
We can get into it probably.
This one or this next one?
We can do it. We can get into it this one.
Okay. Soon after that call was placed, friends and family were also phoned.
Well, so she called 911, right?
Uh-huh.
So let's play the 911 tape because...
If you could be oh so kind.
She found the ransom note and then 7 minutes later called the police. which might sound like a good amount of time, but I'm going to give her that one. Because you're freaking the fuck out at that time.
And you have four stories to go through.
She's checking the fucking house.
Yeah, as she should.
It could have been, you know, just like a prank. But who knows? You got to check the house.
A 3-page ransom note.
So let's listen to the ransom or the 911 call. So this was placed at 5:22 a.m. That is horrific. Like, to be in her situation, like, I couldn't even really imagine, like, the panic and fear she was going through. Mm-mm. And it seems genuine. Like, I know the theories and shit, which we'll get into next episode. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying that phone call was genuine. You can hear the fucking terror in her voice. The panic, the fear, the just pain. It's pain. It's painful to listen to.
It is.
And, you know, we're going to make some jokes and try to make light and not, you know, make this not so heavy. We kind of learned our lesson with the Oklahoma Girl Scout episode about just being so fucking heavy with it. But this is a very horrific case. It really is.
Yeah. It's fucking rough. In every way possible. To say that it was chaos once the Boulder PD got to the Ramsey's home is quite literally the understatement of the fucking century.
So the Boulder PD might go down in history as the worst fucking cops.
At least in 1996, a lot of them.
And there's a lot of issues to why it went down this way. All the fucking good cops were on leave. It was Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So they had the rookies draw the short straws.
Yep, John Eller was the lead investigator who had never headed an investigation, much less a homicide.
Well, most of this was beat cops that showed up.
Yeah.
So it was like people had never fucking experienced like what to do in this type of situation, which is unfortunate because they're police. They should know how to secure a fucking crime scene, which we'll find out that they don't.
Yeah, there were crucial investigative errors made during the initial hours of this investigation. It makes me so, I scream internally thinking about this, the early hours, minutes, whatever, of this investigation. And I could fall down this rabbit hole for days, but I won't do that to y'all. So anyway, Boulder BD gets to the home. They notice that there's no signs of forced entry, like, upon initial inspection. on top of the Boulder PD on the scene, friends and family start showing up.
Because remember, right after they made the 911 call,
they called their friends and family.
They called their friends to come down
and help look. So police taped off JonBenet's room, but nowhere else in the fucking house. So people were just walking all over God's creation in that house. And one of Patsy's friends was cleaning the fucking kitchen.
Hold on. So it wasn't just Patsy's friends doing it. The Boulder PD called a victim's advocacy group to come to the fucking house and help counsel the Ramseys through the fucking, through this. So they just trample God knows how many fucking people in the house.
Oh, dozens, easily.
So you have the friends, and I don't know if you have their names.
No, I didn't go into name dropping.
But so you have four of the Ramsey's friends show up.
I know John White's one of them.
Yep. So the Whites are one couple, and there was another couple. Then you had the Boulder PD call this victim advocacy group to trample through the fucking crime scene.
Yeah.
And then they all start sitting in the kitchen. They're all
making coffee and shit.
They're all touching the fucking ransom note.
Oh, what is this? Oh my God.
It's fucking amateur hour. It quite literally is amateur hour.
It was fucking amateur. But
use your fucking brain. Are you kidding me? You don't think oh shit, maybe I shouldn't touch that.
I feel like these cops just literally got out of fucking basic training.
If they even went through basic training, because I'm not really convinced that they did.
I just want to know when donut break is. Slapped a badge on. I was like,
oh, there you go, son. Have fun.
I just came in for the free donuts this morning. Fucking I didn't realize that I'd have to investigate anything.
Police shared evidence that they found with the Ramseys as they were finding it. Oh, but we found this and that and that. And they even put off questioning John and Patsy right away. And they, when they did get to questioning John and Patsy, they weren't separated and spoken to privately. They were questioned together. Are you fucking stupid? Well, don't answer that, I know.
They mismanaged this in such a way.
Putting it lightly.
That it's just, all I can do is sigh. Anybody who, they should have watched more Columbo. That's all I'm saying. They should have watched more Law and Order or something. Maybe, picked up on anything.
Fucking, I don't even care. I don't care. Just fucking do your job.
It's just baffling. This whole investigation is baffling. And it's only going to get worse next week.
Yeah, John and Patsy both gave inconsistent stories to police when they were questioned separately, finally.
Well, they hated each other.
Well, yeah. A lot of people have issues with how Patsy conducted herself in the interviews following her daughter's murder. She says, quote, "I loved that child." Now, I'm a mom, and I do refer to Adeline Grace as the child, only in humor and when she's being sassy. But I don't understand. I loved that child. Did your love stop when she died? No. Are you that? Well, not just unless struck you're
Casey
me as,
Anthony.
Fuck that bitch.
Oh, she has a new documentary out.
I am so torn on watching it.
We'll get to that at a later date.
Anyway,
that's a new one.
I just don't. That line specifically, I loved that child. It puts my little feelers up. I don't know if it does for anybody else, but it makes me go, you loved her? I feel
past tense.
is weird, right?
There's a lot. There's a lot of weird.
Feelers are saying past tense.
Well, yeah, but like, does that not, as a mom, does that not strike you as weird?
Yeah,
like,
I would never call my kid a child.
I mean, I say like, the child, but, no, but like in humor.
Yeah, mine. I would be distraught. You wouldn't even be able to interview me.
No, it's giving Darlie Rowdier.
She was so quick to get interviewed. I would be inconsolable.
I'm not sure at what point
it's like. Well, they had a full fucking day, and I don't want to spoil any more than I already have, like with foreshadowing, but. There's a lot of weird shit. A lot of weird shit.
Yeah. Police interviewed the Ramsey's housekeeper, Linda Hoffman Pugh, and she painted a very dark picture of Burke Ramsey, allegedly. Not trying to get sued by Burke Ramsey. She said that he had previously hit JonBenet over the head with a golf club during a golf game and gave her a nasty scar on her head. And whenever he was angry with JonBenet, he would smear his own feces in her room.
I mean, look.
What a shit show.
Literally.
Who hasn't been so pissed off with their sibling? They haven't done some terrible things.
I've never
smeared. It's my job as the oldest to make my younger siblings' life hell when we were kids, and I never did that.
I mean, look. There Eric was one time. Hold on. I'm going to tell the story. So our editor, my brother, Jeff.
Shout out to Jeff.
Yeah, much love. But when we were kids, he was coming of age to where he was allowed to sit in the front seat. And the front seat was always my seat when my dad wasn't in the car. So I took it as a personal affront to me. And we went to McDonald's. And Jeff...
Is this a recreation of the San Ysidro Massacre?
I don't know.
But maybe just... the Sweet and Sour Massacre.
Oh, fucking A.
But Jeff, we went to McDonald's. And Jeff, he always gets chicken McNuggets. Because he's a toddler and has no... sense of like palate.
I fucking love chicken nuggets.
They're great. They're great when you're drunk at 3 a.m. But he's like, can you hand me my sweet and sour sauce? And I was just like, this motherfucker sat in my front seat wanting me to hand him his sweet and sour sauce. Okay, I'll hand it to you, motherfucker. And I smashed it in his hair over the top. Kobe just fucking, and then just. Fucking mashed it in there.
Why is mom
That's
driving?
Not the same as smearing your, digging in your own ass.
I don't know.
And he, smearing your feces had, in I your mean, little sister's bedroom.
It might not
bedroom.
Be the same, but he did have to wash that sweet and sour sauce out of his fucking hair.
Well,
and
yes.
And then he had to walk around with sweet and sour sauce.
But Burke didn't have to clean up his own shit. It was Linda who had to do it.
That may be true.
So he gets no repercussions because someone else literally cleans up his shit.
I mean, look. I know we're talking apples and oranges here. Or shit and sweet and sour sauce. Whichever analogy you want. All I'm saying is, I get it.
I mean, yes, the older sibling always torments the younger ones. I understand that being the oldest. I fully understand that.
And look, maybe I didn't go scorched earth enough. Maybe I should have smeared shit in Jeff's hair. I don't know.
I'm going to go with no, you should not have.
And maybe I should have really drove the point home. But all I know is I sit in the front seat from there on out.
You established dominance. I'm fucking dead. Anyway, the Ramseys never got the opportunity to pay the ransom. Though, about 7 hours after the note was discovered, around 1 p.m., one of the detectives told John Ramsey and one of the family friends, John White, to go around the house and see if anything was missing, broken, moved around, etc. Yeah,
this was a beat cop, and she told John Ramsey that maybe because he looked really just distraught and on edge and shit, which he should be. He and she's like, well, I wanted to give him something to do. So he got a whole second chance to sweep the house for fucking any evidence.
Which the fact that he, I'm putting a pin in that.
But what I'm saying is like, why a cop would tell a potential suspect?
Yes.
Potential, because
you always look at the family first. Always. Family and spouse.
Yeah, that house should have been locked down tighter than Dick's fucking hat band, and it wasn't. That's the fucking problem. The Ramsey should have been told to leave the house.
Yeah.
And...
or have them confined in an already cleared room.
Now, do you have the part about... because I haven't read these notes prior to this. Do you have the part about John making that weird phone call to his pilot?
No, I forgot to put that in there.
Okay.
I fell down so many rabbit holes. I forgot where I left off
at. All right. So at some point during this time, John Ramsey makes a phone call to his pilot to get the plane ready. They're flying to Atlanta.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
So, which was really fucking weird. Like,
that he would think to do that in the midst of...
well, why go to Atlanta? Like, does he know who the kidnappers are? Does he have, a score to settle? Like, what the fuck's going on? Because he seems to fucking, know he's going to Atlanta. Which, I think the older brother was on his way to Boulder. So why would he go to Atlanta?
John Andrew?
Yeah.
I don't know. The first place they go. So, okay. When you think of searching for something, you search it top to bottom, correct? That's the phrase. I search it top to bottom.
The female officer told him to search top to bottom.
Right. So why would he go to the cellar first?
Because he's not going to let a woman tell him what to do. He's going to start at the bottom and
shut the fuck up.
Started from the bottom, now he's here.
Well, he didn't go far. So that just strikes me as weird that he, you should be an autopilot. You shouldn't be able to form your own thoughts.
All right. You want to know what I think it really is? Is a man. Start from the bottom because you're on the ground floor probably already. So, I have less, if there's something in the basement, which they didn't really investigate. Lazy fucks,
they're I have less places to go.
Yeah,
that qualify as work smarter, not harder.
I'm going to start in the basement and mill around for a little bit and, fuck off and not do anything.
You're going to leaf blow the fucking wine cellar?
Yeah, well, what's weird about that, though, is the cops never really checked the fucking basement. The cops looked at all four stories of the house except for the basement.
They don't count the basement as a story?
No. The basement's the basement.
I thought that counted as a level to the house.
It maybe. I'm not 100% sure, but when I think of a four-story home, I think of four stories
above and the
basement
ground.
Is sub-level.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I was assuming.
But what I'm assuming is
a basement, so
what I know is the cops never really looked down there. They went down there, flashed flashlight, and fucking fucked off.
Yeah. So he goes down to the wine cellar and just looking for any kind of clue when he walks in and sees JonBenet's body underneath a white sheet. And instead of letting the fucking just alerting the police that you have found her, he fucking picks her up and takes off the fucking duct tape from her mouth and brings her upstairs. Are you fucking kidding me?
She was behind a closed door the entire fucking time.
I'm getting to that part.
Okay.
So there was duct tape over her mouth that fucking John Ramsey took off.
Mm-hmm.
And she
has DNA's all fucking over it.
Fucking A. Her wrists were tied with a white cord that also wrapped around her neck. What's weird about when John Ramsey found JonBenet's body, was when John White, I mean, he had John White down there with him. He said that John was screaming he found her before he turned the light on in the wine cellar. How do you look at a white sheet and know that that is the dead body of your child? How the fuck do you know that? How do you know that? You don't. I mean, it's body size, maybe, depending on the...
I think it comes down to parents' intuition.
But I don't look... I mean, I'm also kind of the kind of person that looks at the black trash bags on the side of the road and be like, maybe there's a body in there.
I think they knew good and well she was dead.
I think that they knew that she was still in the fucking house.
Which we'll definitely get into.
Yes. Yeah, so I don't understand how you can walk in. Like, the wine cellar has no fucking windows. None at all. No light source. The light was off in the wine cellar. So I just don't understand how you can just, oh my God, I found her. Turn the lights on. Uncover her. I don't, that raises a red flag in my brain. I don't know.
I'm going to say it's probably parents' intuition at that point, because when you know, you know. Like, if you see a white sheet on the floor that's not normally supposed to be there, it's like,
I wouldn't automatically assume, because my brain is, she's been taken out of the house.
I think it's just like, fuck, I found her.
I don't know. To me, that's a red flag. What's
crazy is John had already pulled the money for the ransom. It was exactly his Christmas bonus, because his company hit
into that.
Oh my God. Okay, Sam.
She's not there yet.
We're not there yet. So, sorry. I'm just dying over here. JonBenet had a fractured skull. She'd been sexually assaulted, not with a private part.
She was not raped in a sense that you would think of when you describe a rape.
Yes.
She may have been diddled. We don't quite know.
She was strangled with a garrote made from one of Patsy's paintbrushes. And according to the coroner's report, JonBenet's official COD was asphyxia by strangulation associated with craniocerebral trauma, which she was hit over the head and then choked, strangled with a garrote. I've been saying garrote in my brain.
It's garrote. It's basically like a garrote is an old spy tool.
Yeah.
That normally when you use a garrote, you use it with like piano wire.
Uh-huh.
So you can sever the fucking head.
Uh-huh.
When you pull back on it. But in this case, it was a makeshift using
paintbrush and cord.
Yeah. Paintbrush and like a cord. Yeah, white like nylon. That. Like basically almost like a, what's in a pair of gym shorts?
Yeah, like a drawstring.
Yep.
Her death was obviously classified as a homicide.
Well, no shit. She didn't do it to herself.
Well, yes. Thankfully, there was no actual semen found in or on her body, but there was touch DNA found in her long johns that we will, in a hair that we will get into later.
Next episode.
Put a pin in that. The coroner also found what appeared to be undigested pineapple bits in her stomach, and there just so happened to be a bowl of pineapple in the kitchen that had Burke's fingerprints on it. John and Patsy said that they don't recall giving JonBenet any pineapple before she went to bed, and unfortunately you can't exactly timestamp fingerprints. The Ramseys claimed that Burke was in his room all night, and there was no evidence to say otherwise.
Yeah, he was poo painting all night long.
Yeah, okay.
He's like, I'm doing a doo-doo snowman. It's Christmas. He just takes you a turn. Wanna just...
build a snowman? Get the fuck out of my face.
Did South Park come out yet at that time? I can't remember. I have
no Wait, idea. Is he just like taking the turd and just like yeah, sticking just it down? Yeah, just stamping it.
Like he like, just takes like,
a turd and just.
I don't. I'm he's not like, gonna.
I got three turds. They're all different sizes. They'll make a perfect snowman.
How does he make the carrots? Like hair nose.
I don't want to know. Ew. Oh. Are we ready to get into the ransom note? We're going to circle back. We're pulling the Jen's hockey. We're circling
back. Ugh, God. We circled back to the ransom note. All right. So.
Do we want to do that this episode or next one?
I almost so want to leave everybody in anticipation.
Yeah. You know what? We'll start next week.
Good. Because I wasn't really done note. Analyzing it.
Okay. Perfect.
Yay.
So that is JonBenet Ramsey part one. Mm. Holy shit. There's just so much.
I've gotten all my anger out.
There's so much to this case.
Have you? I don't
Probably
know.
Not. No. Probably not.
I'm going to go ahead and say that when you it's come back.
It's fine.
And we glossed over a couple things, like involving the police and their.
I feel like that Sam's going to come back being and the inept. Slots aren't working and Apple teenies are not on free port like this.
Be ready to roll.
Yeah, she's going to be ready to roll.
Well, next week we're going to get into the ransom note.
Yes.
We're going to get into the theories that are out there.
There's still some more information after the ransom note of like developments and other things that have happened. So like we're not like done.
No. And what's crazy is this case was just in the fucking news. Mm-hmm. Not even a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
John,
I have all the tea.
Oh, Sam's got all the tea. So be ready for that next episode. Christian, without further ado.
If you guys would not like to be like me and not know what's going on in the true crime world, make sure you guys are subscribed. First and foremost, we love you guys so, so, so much. And we appreciate you. The last, like, month was crazy. November was awesome. So we really, really appreciate those downloads. Make sure you guys have us on your auto downloads. Make sure you guys are following us on Instagram, Facebook, the socials. Comment. We actually really appreciate those comments. And actually, the interaction is fun. It's good. We feel like we're in our safe enclosure and we're having our enrichment time.
Make sure you leave a review, too. So if you're on Apple Podcast or Spotify, even Spotify, if you listen to the show, you can leave a review. We love 5-star reviews. That is very nice.
We only accept those.
I do appreciate 5-star reviews. Yep. If you're on Apple Podcast, you can even say a nice little thing about us.
We appreciate this too.
And we will give you a shout out at the start of the episodes.
As long as it's nice.
Even if it's not nice, I'll read them. I don't give a shit.
Fuck them. We'll read your 5 stars and not your comments. We know we suck sometimes.
Sure I'll get some comments about this. So, yeah, leave us a review on Apple Podcast. I'll read it on the show. We have a ton of shit planned for next year. It's going to be out of this world. So, guys, thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned for next week. We will be going on a short break.
Are you doing crypt keeping?
Yeah, I'm doing a little crypt keeping at the end of the episode. I didn't want to like do it at the front because I knew we were going to talk a lot. So we are going on a short break after next week's episode. We'll be back in 2 weeks, the first week of January. So be tuned in for that.
We're going to have some Marion Fright time.
Well, we got one more cold case to do in January. And then it's back to your regularly scheduled spooky programming.
Ooh.
And I'm going to go ahead and tell you what we're doing for after that last cold case. We're covering Amityville.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell them what the other cold case was.
No,
I was
no, what? I'm keeping that one in the dark.
I'm so excited.
It's like, it's the one Sam really wanted to do.
It
And it's the 10-year anniversary of it. So
this was the first case that I'd ever seen unredacted, unblurred crime scene photos of. And I can never unsee them.
That's crazy, because I saw unblurred crime scene photos of a lot of shit back on like Ogre-ish and Rotten.com.
Okay, well, I didn't live in that time.
Yeah, you did.
I wasn't, like, I didn't, I missed that part.
You just weren't a sicko. You just weren't a sicko.
I hadn't unleashed that part of me yet.
Yeah, so. All right, guys. Thank you again, and we will see you next week. Stay creepy.
Stay spooky.
Bye. Bye.